I really thank you this morning for coming in to church. Once again, you could have been anywhere else. It's very hot. But to come in here this morning, it's an act of faith. It's an act of worship. It's an act of surrender. It's an act of submission. It's an act of being hungry and wanting more. How awesome is the Lord? How awesome is the presence of the Lord in this house? Amen. Father, I ask for seven times more of that. Amen. In here. I had prepared for this sermon and prepared for it yesterday. And as I was preparing through it all, at one point I did find that, you know, there was... Well, there's been a press, really, for about 2 weeks now in terms of me being able to prepare for this. And even yesterday as I was preparing, I knew that as I was preparing, it really wasn't from, say, even the heart. It was more in terms of work and get everything right down in a format that was, you know, coherent and it would flow. So this morning when I woke up, guess who I find sitting next to me by the bed? Find the Holy Spirit sitting by me by the bed. He's just sitting down. He's just waiting for me. He's eager. He's just like, I'm waiting for him to wake up. I always put my alarm clock. I don't know why I do that. He always tends to wake me up about 2 minutes before my alarm goes off. So I think I'm just going to maybe stop putting my alarm clock on and just start trusting him. But he spoke to me this morning and he said, I want you to abandon a lot of this. I brought it up.
I understand.
What do I do? So you've just woken up, you find the Holy Ghost sitting next to you by the bed, and he says that. And he's like, you know what? Instead of preparing, let's go for a swim. I'm like, you want to go for a swim? Cool. I'd love to go for a swim. So I got up and I abandoned it all. I chose not to try. I chose to trust.
Amen.
It's a sermon that I listened to recently and it was by a preacher, John G. Lake. And the title of his sermon was Not Try, Don't Try, But Trust. That just stuck with me. It literally just entered and it's stuck. It won't come off. So we went for a swim this morning. And as I'm swimming, he's just teaching me. He's filling my mind with so much truth. And I rose so much up in the Lord this morning that I did my 1.5 kilometers in almost record time. And I tell you what, it's just such an honor because that's what he wants. That's what this sermon series is all about. It's authority and righteousness. What does that mean? To me, see, this is a subject that's very dear to my heart. Because I'll be honest with you, when I first came to the Lord, I was never taught this in church. Church I went to, I'm not going to go down that path. I love them. You know, I'm not going to go church bashing this morning. I really, really love them. But I was not taught about righteousness, what it means, and what it means to be clean and righteous before the Lord God Almighty. It is foundational. See, this truth, if you don't understand this truth, if you don't get a grasp of righteousness, you cannot possibly lay down a foundation to build your house on. You will not be able to grow. You will not be able to receive. You will not be able to resist. You're going to be stuck. Because it's righteousness that basically sets you free. I want you to leave here this morning, church, with a very, very clear idea. Or understanding, sorry, of how God views you. It's very important to understand that. It's what he says. I love what Louise said this morning. You know, Romans 5. we've been set free from sin. I know in Romans chapter 6, being set free from sin is actually mentioned 4 times. I think Paul really wanted to make a point of that. So, I want to go and just start off by probably just defining righteous. What does it mean? What does righteous actually mean? I looked up in the dictionary, and funnily enough, it actually says to act in accordance with divine and moral law, free from guilt and sin, genuine and excellent. Now, apart from God, I agree, you're not righteous. But as soon as you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you're clean. The instant you accept Him, you have been made righteous, blameless, pure, without reproach. So the connection of these two, authority and righteousness. If you actually believe that you're not clean and righteous, how in the world are you going to exercise any authority? How? How are you going to walk in authority if you are feeling unworthy? It is impossible. And the first thing that Satan comes to do, he comes to steal that understanding of your righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if he can steal that, you become completely ineffective. Authority means power to influence or command thought, an opinion, or behavior. This is the most important one that I found. It is freedom granted by one in authority. So if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You have been granted freedom by Him to do His mighty works on earth and to crush the works of Satan. That's the job, guys. Proverbs 8:21, it says, and you guys can go there. Now, most of my scripture is actually from the New King James. There's also from the New Living Translation, but mostly New King James. It says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. See, before I let this revelation sink into my heart, I was not bold. I definitely wasn't like a lion. Most of the time, I fled and I hid because I actually didn't believe I was clean before the Lord. See, Satan's done a really good job of blinding Christians in regards to their true identity about who they really are. You have a lion and a lamb in you. See, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have accepted Him, for those who haven't, it's an invitation. For those who have, sit back and relax and just enjoy this ride, because you know what? It's just going to be a renewing of your mind. You're brand new. You become a brand new creation. What does that actually mean? Well, it actually means Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus wants to take residence in you. He could choose to live anywhere He wants to live. He could make His temple sit in the sky so that when we wake up in the morning, we could all look and say, oh my goodness me, look where God dwells. He says, no, I don't want that. I want to live in you. I want you and me to be so close, to be so one, that I don't want no separation between us. I want us one. We need to understand our right standing in the Lord, because with that comes boldness, power, and authority. Church, if you can go with me to 2 Corinthians. And chapter 5, verse 17. says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." It doesn't say he will become a new creation. It says he is present. The second you say, "Jesus, Lord, you're new. And all old things pass away, and all things have become new." Our salvation doesn't begin when you die. Your righteousness doesn't commence when you enter through the gates of heaven. It commences the instant that you say Jesus is Lord. You're clean. If you don't agree with me, you're disagreeing with him. Because this says, "I love you. You're clean. Come and sit on my lap. I want to talk to you. Incline your ear to me. I want to speak mercy into your life. I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to empower you. I want you to be a light. I want you to be salt." How could you possibly go and sit on his lap if you think you're dirty? You can't. You're going to do what Adam did in the garden. You're going to go try and run and hide. Good luck. Doesn't work. "Adam, where are you?" "I don't know." "Come here, Adam. Come and sit on my knee." Ah, jeez. I guess there is a confusion, though. And this, I guess, was the confusion for me. Because, understanding, brings truth, right? You perish because of a lack of it. Yep. So in all things, we get understanding. Okay. So let's start with that. When I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and I was in the car, and you all know what happened. For the first time, I felt free. For the first time, I felt absolute freedom in him. Right? I think most of us in here who have accepted him can understand that. Okay? What happens after that? It's interesting, because if you're not in this, not good things happen. Because the enemy comes straight away to come and steal that peace and that freedom and that joy that's in your heart. If you're not in the Word. I don't base my truth on people and opinions anymore. I base it upon what he says. I don't follow man. I am not brainwashed. I have had my brain washed by him. Okay? We all have truths. We all have opinions. We all follow something and someone. What is it? And why? It's very important to ask yourself these questions, because if you don't actually ask yourself these questions, you may have been taught, "You know what, son? That's absolutely fine to go walk on thin ice." And when you find yourself in the middle of that lake and that ice crumbles, that truth that maybe you were taught, even though it may have been sincere, was sincerely wrong. So when I was clean before the Lord and I was free in that car, what happened? I started to then listen to the voice of everything else other than the voice of my Father in heaven. And guess what? That instant I was free, the very second I was condemned again. I was attending, as I said, I'm not Bible, church bashing, but it's just the truth, place where they were basically saying it's all about your sin, you got to do this right, you got to do that right, you got to perform, you got to do this, you got to do that. And then you start to stumble, and then you start to fall, and then you don't start to feel as clean as what you thought maybe you were. And then you start to doubt your salvation. Am I wrong? How many have been there? Yeah, maybe some are there right now. Probably some have not even come to the Lord and don't even know what to do with all this stuff that they've got inside of them. Guilt, shame, condemnation. Give it to him. It's why he came. You can't pay him back. Impossible. I once asked the priest, "How do I get to heaven?" He said, "Well, look, you just got to try and be good and do the best you can." Be good. I got to understand, be good. That makes no sense to me. Are you good? Define good. You don't enter into the Holy of Holies from your performance. It's not based upon your generosity, your kindness, your love, your good deeds. It's all based upon the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, we bask in his gifts. We love the gifts. I'm so generous, I'm so kind, I'm so loving, right? But we ignore the gift giver. What do you call a child that does that? The one that enjoys all the spoils of the gifts that you give them and then looks at you and says, all this is from me, you gave me nothing. You see, life is a gift. Children is a gift. They are a gift. Love is a gift. Relationship is a gift. If it's a gift, where did it come from? See, we call them gifts. The world calls them gift, but they have no clue what they're saying because they don't know him. And it breaks my heart. We honor the gift giver. And then he empowers you with love to go out and love, not in a plastic fake way, but with a love that is so deep and so profound and so meaningful. Do I want my children just to follow, listen to me because they're just going to get something from me? No. No. You see, what's the point if they just follow me and just listen to me? Or what, you know, if you have children, why? If all they do is just follow and listen to you because they get something, what's the point of that? You haven't actually taught them anything. See, I understand now that religion is evil. Religion tries to tell you, you know what? It's about your performance to God. It's about how much you can do to show him how worthy you are. And it all counts for nothing. Paul said it perfectly. It's dung. I won't say that other S word, but it's just poo. Okay? Come to him boldly, humbly, sorry. Receive his love. Let him fill you with tender mercies. And then you're going to want to go and do the works of God, not because of a heart that you want to prove to him, but because you're so overwhelmed by his love that you just want to go and love like him. When we sin, even when we're righteous, you're still clean. Does that make sense? If you fall short, but he lives in you, you're still clean. Do not be deceived. I was very confused by this because people said to me, and I said this too, but the second I accepted him, shouldn't I just now do the right thing all the time? I'm not saying that you can't, but I'm saying that now that he's in you, now the war starts. Now you can start to counteract and punch back. I used to go down this path. Now that you live in me, Lord, oh my goodness me, now I don't have to choose that path. Greed, selfishness, whatever it is, whatever idol one was following, I can now resist and choose the path of life. Amen. He didn't go to a cross to make confessing Christians who act like robots, right? He went to a cross to make sons. Hallelujah. And I am one of the best. Why? Because everything he says, I just say, fine. See, my walk has got nothing to do anymore with my performance or, you know, how I view myself or how even others view me. See, my walk now has become to a point where I'm just learning how to submit to him, how to be obedient to him, because that's the sweet spot. That's the good stuff. When you can deny yourself and put him first. He's only asking you to deny yourself of everything that you ever were. Seems like a lot though, doesn't it? Yeah? Guess what though? You were never made for those things anyway, so just give them up. You were never made for greed and envy and strife and malice and all those horrible fruits. You were never made for that, and unforgiveness. You were made for compassion and for love and for tender mercies and patience and forbearance, the good fruits of the Spirit. You were made from the beginning to house him. Wonder why Satan got so arced up. We're three parts, church. Body, flesh, mind, and soul, which is your character, your personality, and spirit. The confusing thing is this. See, when I accepted Christ, I didn't actually understand what part of me was saved. You understand? Because we're not taught these things. But my King did. He taught me. The second you say yes to Jesus, your spirit, your inner man, is instantly sealed. Instantly sealed. Redeemed. Restored. It's magnificent. There's no miracle like a recreated spirit. How do one know this? Well, I just have to receive it by faith. Did we see the day that we said yes, Lord, with our heart and cried it out with our mouth? Did we see the Spirit of God actually come down, take residence? Maybe some did. If you did, good luck to you. That's awesome. I didn't. I had to receive it by faith. We walk by faith. Do we walk by sight?
No.
No, we walk by faith. So I guess we're just going to have to trust him. This was the bit that I think made me understand even more deeply this revelation from God. Our body and our flesh has not been saved yet. Yep. Our spirit has. Our body is a purchased possession. The deposit of that purchased possession is his spirit in us, to be redeemed on the last day. So the body I have at the moment, it doesn't look glorified, does it? No? I think most of us, when we go in the mirror, we kind of like look and it's like, Lord, why not the body? That's to come. But you know what faith is, and this is true, and I've been doing this actually for a little bit of time, but you look in the mirror, and this is faith, that when you can look in the mirror and say, there's God in that man, doesn't look like it, but he lives there. So our body and our flesh is not redeemed yet. Now, I don't want to diminish the works of the cross in regards to what the cross has done to even our bodies and our flesh on earth. In Matthew, does it not say that by his stripes we were healed? Right? As much, I guess, as we are willing to believe and stand and rest on his promises and on his word, are we then able to receive the manifestation of what he actually accomplished on that cross? Look, guys, this is a miracle I'm standing here today. Okay? I'm not lying to you. This last 10 days, it started off with, I woke up and I just had severe pain in my shoulder. Severe. It was like a hand had literally gripped onto me and the thumb was just going into my shoulder. And I could not lift my arm up. Couldn't lift it. So, I did the opposite to what I did in the past. I didn't say, God, you know that I've got a sermon to prepare and I've got all this stuff that I need to do. Why is this happening to me? Where's that going to get you? So I started to declare, Lord, you made these arms and these hands in order to be lifted up and raised up to you. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to get off me. It didn't leave though, initially. So what do? You apply the word. What does he say? Resist, and he will flee. And I did. I wouldn't do this to you guys, but I got so angry, I punched myself 3 times in the shoulder. I got angry. It's fine to have a righteous anger. Yeah? You get angry when you see a brother or a sister sick, diseased in Christ because they've been redeemed and purchased by the blood. I get angry with that. I get angry when I had my little baby in the hospital dying with no lungs and I had no understanding and no revelation because I chose not to listen to him and listen to man. And because of that, I was not clean before the Lord. I was clean, but I didn't accept it. And she died. You know what? I pray for people. Some get healed. Some don't. Just because someone doesn't get healed, what does that mean? Does that mean that all of a sudden Jesus is not on his throne? Does that mean that I will elevate my experience above his word and just stop praying for people? Matthew, I think, chapter 10, verse 8. You don't have to go there. But he says, as you go, what do? You preach. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then what do? Lay your hands upon the sick, and then they shall recover. Does it say, if the circumstances are all in line, lay your hands? Does it say, if your emotions and if your feelings are in check, lay your hands? Does it say, if your bank balance says surplus, lay your hands? Does it say, if your marriage is going swimmingly, lay your hands? It says, lay your hands. I have to obey him and no one else. I pray. Maybe not, maybe so. I'm growing in this, but one thing I know for sure, I will not quit. I will keep going. I will keep laying my hands. So the shoulder, can't lift it. Then I could. Then I got hit with this, I don't know what it was, guys. It was congestion, it was flu, it was just, couldn't sleep. It hit me out of nowhere. I declared, and the next morning I woke up completely fine. Tuesday, I'm at work. I'm treating my patients, and as I'm treating my patients, I have this overwhelming sense of lower back pain. It got to the point, guys, I literally couldn't stand. But I declared what he said. Jesus, by your stripes I am healed. 12 hours at work I stood. I got home and my wife saw me. My shoulder was going that way and my hip was going that way. Man, I was bent. All right? She laid hands on me, that beautiful woman of God, Mrs. D. Ah, geez, I tell you what, not many things scare me, but she, she does not have any fear in regards to telling me the truth. Need to honor women like that. She's a wonderful helper. Yes. I wake up in the morning and I still feel a bit proppy, but I'm straight. So I go to work again Wednesday. Thursday, I do another full 12 hours. I come home and I'm not kidding you guys, I am straight as a whistle. Now I'm a physiotherapist by trade, okay? My smarts did not heal me. What I had, I can tell you right now, it doesn't take a day or two to heal. Okay? It can take weeks. 2 days. I'm standing here before you, completely healed and redeemed. Am I lying? That's up to you. I'll leave you with God. But I know what Satan did to not get me here this morning. And I said, you will not stop me from coming onto this pulpit today. But you know what? If I had been maybe in my former days, I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't even been anywhere in the vicinity of here. I would have been probably still lying on the floor, bent. This is real. This is not fake. Righteousness. Clean. Believe it. Once you start believing in it, declare it, especially when you don't feel it. When I started to actually declare righteousness, do you know how foreign that was to me? It felt like literally I was out of my mind because I didn't feel it. And then all of a sudden, his word starts to wash your mind. You're clean. I love you. I went to that cross, not just to pay for your sin, but to remove it completely. Take the stain off. Because I know you from the beginning. Amen. When Jesus is on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. You know, another way of saying is that Jesus, Father, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know. They haven't got the faintest idea of who they are or what they've become apart from us. But me and you know who they are, and they're well worth the price. Father, I thank you. I hang on this cross for love. If anyone doubt the love of God, how do you explain the cross to me? I've asked people that. They said, how can God be good? I go, okay, I understand. You look at the world and you see all the brokenness and you see all the famine and all the hunger and the rape and the murder and the idolatry and the, you know, all the vileness. And you think, how could a God actually allow this stuff to actually occur? That's another sermon for another day. I can't go there. But I said, before I answer that question, friend, you answer me one question. And if you give me an answer, I'll leave Jesus. I'll follow you with boldness. If God's not good, why would he have sent his son? I'm still waiting for an answer. Absolutely. If God's not good, why would he have sent his son? He became sin. He became what we are on that cross. He became the vileness, the murder, the adultery, the incest, the rape, the lying, the theft. He became that. And in return, all he wants is relationship with you. Give it to me. I'll give you my crown. I don't know about you guys, but that is just incredible. That amazes me. I wake up to that every morning, where I thank him. And I let him love me. Let him love you. Don't stop. Don't withhold it. It doesn't work. If you stop it, and if you withhold his love, it grieves him. It's like me and my babies. If they don't let me love them, it grieves me. It breaks my heart. Most of the blessings can't flow. It's not because God doesn't want to bless. He has an ocean of blessings up there. The reasons why the blessings can't flow is because we're just willing to hide and not go to the Father boldly, go to his throne, sit on his lap and go, Father, thank you. I thank you for the blood of your son. Watch those blessings flow, guys. Watch the impossible become possible. It is a miracle that I am even here today. Jesus is the foundation. If Jesus is not your foundation, then what is your foundation? It's a very good question to ask yourself. What is it that I am on earth for and why? Why do I keep sucking air in and out? If you truly seek Him with your heart, if you truly seek God with your heart, I have absolutely no doubt you're going to come to the door of Jesus Christ. He says, I am the narrow door. The door that leads to life. Narrow is the door and hard is the way that leads to life. Why is it hard? Because you have to go against every single instinct that you were born with that was from Satan. You have to give it all up. You have to give up pride. Wide is the door that leads to destruction. What does Jesus say? And many go through it. If Jesus is your foundation, well, guess what your foundation is? Is Jesus not the Word? So your foundation is now the Word, and I can stand on it. Is the Word not truth? What does truth do? It sets you free. It sets you free from the lie. The lie that you're not worthy. The lie that you're not clean. Do you see why He went on the cross? See, for me, He didn't go to the cross just to give us a golden ticket to go back to heaven. It's so much more than that. Don't miss it. Love your word this morning, Louise. And your word as well, Carol. He wants us to push the boundaries, to go beyond what we even thought was possible. As long as this word's in front of you, guess what happens? You keep pushing those boundaries. Where in the word does it say that I just want you to be contained and just kind of like live in this little, you know, cushy bubble? Nowhere. Your light. If you put the lamp under the bed, Jesus says, what purpose does that stand for? A light is meant to be put on top of a hill so it shines. So don't hide. Shine, because that's what you were made for. Life is a gift. And every day you wake up, you thank the Father. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful gift called life, because it's another day to shine, irrespective of my circumstances. Oh, goodness me. Sorry, guys, I'm just actually, he's saying no to a lot of this. Okay. John 3:18, church. I guess we'll even, John 3, we have to go to John 3:60. It's just too good to pass up. It's too good to pass up. For God so loved the what? He created this. He loves this. Doesn't love what it's become, but He loves it so much. It doesn't say that God is so frustrated, so angry, so fed up that he goes, here, have my son. He loved the world. He, what? What does that say? He gave his only begotten son. See, one thing that I have been doing, guys, I used to read scripture and read it quickly. Don't do that. Go slow. Really slow. You will miss a lot of stuff. I used to read scripture for knowledge. I don't read scripture for knowledge anymore. I read it because I love sitting on the lap of my father and I love having him speak to me. I love it. This morning in the pool, oh my goodness me. I mean, it's just non-stop him talking to me. Non-stop. I pray that for this church and for all the churches. Not for knowledge, but to know him more, says Paul. Because knowing him more sets you free all the time. Gone are the days of when you wake up on a Monday morning. Father, oh my goodness me, my back's sore, my shoulder's aching. I've got this sore throat. What are you doing? Why? I got to bring my other daughter to kind of like a, you know, an ocularist, work 12-hour days. I don't understand, God. Don't do that. Doesn't work. Trust him. Don't try. Thank you, Father, that by the blood of your Son, I am redeemed. I am made clean. I am whole. No curse shall fall upon me or my family. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that when you saw me from afar, you didn't look at me and say, vile, prodigal son, what have you done? The prodigal, what does he do? He runs to him. What was the son doing? He's eating where pigs eat. Well, he actually longed to eat the pods where the pigs ate from. So I'm guessing if he's in a pig pen, he ain't smelling too good. He's probably covered in a lot of dung of pig, right? I'll even back up a little bit. Because God's got this on my heart and I have to go where he directs me this morning. So the prodigal, he asks the father for a third. The father does not withhold it. He gives it to him. Heartbroken. But he gives it. Be careful what you ask for. He goes out. He squanders the lot with what? Wild living. I love this bit. When he's at the most bottom of the bottom, he comes to his senses. Wow. He comes to his senses. What does that mean? It means that he recognizes the need for his father. You won't make it without your father, family. It's impossible. So he sits up, and instead of going in the direction of wild living, turns around and he starts going home to his dad. Father, I have sinned before heaven and before you. He's rehearsing it along the way because he's so filled with condemnation that he has to keep repeating it. He goes home though because deep down inside he knows that he's a good dad. Right? He knows that he's going to be willing to forgive him. That's why he decides to get up and go home. What does the father do? Oh man. He runs to him. He sees him from such a long distance and he runs. He runs to him. He could smell him from probably, I don't know how far he was away. Yeah? Covered, soiled, disheveled. And what does he do? He hugs him. Do you see the symbolism here? This is why the father that brought me to this parable, because he's teaching me even as I'm speaking. He covered him with his righteousness. The father was clean. And he goes, come here, my boy. And he covered his filth. The day you say yes to his son is the day that the father says, I love you. Come back home. You're mine. I cover your filth. Whatever you've got, whatever it is, if you haven't given it to him, give it to him. Stop playing games. You know that there's a day. There is a day. And thank God that there's a day, because this can't continue. Children being buried one day can't go on. Stop playing. Who can stand before the Lord and say, my effort? I'm not beating you up, church. I love you. So maybe not for you, this word. Maybe for whoever hears it on the podcast. If you agree, relax, recline, like Mary. Enjoy it. You must be born again. John chapter 3, I don't know why, but the Father's calling me to John chapter 3, so I just have to obey him. John chapter 3, guys. Let's go to John chapter 3. Okay. All right. Go to verse 3. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Born again is not a religion. It's not a cult. If your idea of born again is religion and cult, you're deceived. Jesus says you will not see the kingdom unless you are born again. Now, love Nicodemus here, because he just shares his heart. How can anyone be born when they are old? Nicodemus said. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb. Could you see that this guy's mind? Jesus says you need to be born again, and Nicodemus is thinking about going inside his mum. Could you imagine Nicodemus after this, you know, sitting down with Jesus? He goes home to his mom. He goes, Mom, guess what? I had a chat with the Messiah. He actually told me that I have to be born again. Here I go. Could you imagine his mom's reaction? Nico, no! Do you see the flesh, how it tends to think? Tends to think in fleshly ways, you know, born again. You know, I've got to go back inside the womb and I've got to come out again. Jesus wasn't talking about that. Born again to Jesus is, let me live in you. Let my spirit and your spirit cleave and become one. Let me walk with you. Let me dance with you. Let me pick you up when you've fallen and you've stumbled. Let me laugh with you. Let me wake you up. Does he ever leave us?
Never.
Does he ever forsake us?
Never.
Where'd you get that? So when you feel all lonely and abandoned and unloved, guess who's there with you if you believe? Renew your mind to that. I could be in here, or I could be in the Sahara Desert all alone with scorpions. I'm happy. I'm settled. It's in me. I'm not turning back. I put my hand in the plow and I'm going to go forward now. I can't go back. See, I'm at a point now where this is so real to me that, you know, I used to stay in church and actually raise up my hands and sing, and then my life was the opposite, not the opposite of this guy's, but I wasn't walking in, I wasn't trusting him. So I was singing about certain things that weren't matching my belief. So I'm at a point right now, I think most of you guys know what's going on with my baby Natalie. Yep. Won't go there, but there's certain things going on where we've had to keep going for appointments and, you know, doctor's appointments and various things. And I'm not opposed to that for anyone else. I'm not here to condemn anyone. This is where I'm at. 2 years ago, I wasn't even here. I was another planet. I didn't even believe God healed. I thought maybe if he did. I thought he's just sat at a big oak desk and, you know, he got requests and he said, yeah, accept, reject. That was what I thought. It's not like that. He doesn't sit at a big oak desk. He's the Lord. He's on a throne. And it's a yes and an amen. Because his son said, Joe, his blood cried on that cross, yes and amen. If you doubt that, he didn't speak it. His actions speak louder than words. But I'm at a point now with my daughter. And it was when I was reading about Abraham going up that mountain for the Lord had asked him to do something. He asked him to sacrifice his son. And I'm saying, Father, I want that faith. If you think you can't have that faith, you're mistaken. We can be all Abrahams in here. We can be all Pauls in here. The measure that he gave was his measure. The same measure, the power that rose the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. So, Father, I want to walk in that measure now. Okay. Oh, Lord. So I made a decision in my heart and I conveyed it to my wife. I said, I'm done with doctor's appointments. I'm finished. Because I'm going to put all my chips in this book, in this basket, for him to completely heal that child. Amen. The weight of that, guys, lifted off me. That's why I know it was God's will. Because it wasn't a feeling of condemnation, of like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? It was freedom. That trust was freedom. I'm walking up that mountain right now with my boy, and I loaded him up with wood, and I got that knife in my back pocket, and I'm going to that mountain. And I lay that boy down, and I will say to those servants, like Abraham did, me and my boy are going to come back. I'm not forsaken. I'm not for sale. I'm sold. So I conveyed this to my wife, and she's praying about it at the moment. He doesn't want us to try. He wants us to trust him. Did he fail with Abraham? Did he fail with David when David was constantly encamped by enemies and he delivered him all the time? Did he fail? Did he fail Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den? Did he fail Daniel when Daniel was put into the fire? Who put Daniel in the fire anyway? I'd love to know that, because as that door opened, they all burnt. So who threw him in? I actually think Jesus goes, my boy, go in. He kicked him in. He goes, because we're made of the same stuff. Let's go in there and have a chat. He didn't fail him. Why would God fail us? Are we willing to believe? Are we willing to put everything on the line? Because I tell you what, girls, I am not going to live this life without that manifestation occurring in my daughter. I've settled on that. And I said to my wife, I love you, hun. I will never force you, ever. But when you're ready, hop aboard, because we're going up top of that mountain. I don't know how to land this plane, Paul. I have to land this plane. Most of this stuff, I'll leave it. Just that. He spoke. I don't know, whatever you heard this morning, it was for you because he loves you. I do not want you to leave this place with 1 ounce of condemnation, 1 ounce of guilt. Because if that's true, I haven't done my job. Crystal clear. He loves you and he sent his son to clean you. Accept it, believe it, stand in it, rest in it. And if you don't know him, this is a chance to know him. And your life will never be the same. Ever. I'll close in prayer. Father, I just thank you this morning for your love, your lavish love, dear Lord, that you just throw upon us, dear Lord. It's like a warm blanket. You just love us. Thank you, Father, that we can approach your throne boldly as sons, as daughters. We can come and sit on your lap. We can incline our ear, dear Lord, to your wonderful voice and hear the truth, dear Lord, getting spoken into our ear, the truth that sets us free. The truth, dear Lord, that washes us clean, that renews our mind, that refreshes our soul, that stirs the spirit, dear Lord. The truth, dear Lord, that gets the mind and the flesh and the soul and that pulls it into line with the spirit, going straight up to you. I thank you, Father. I thank you for the blood. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.